You know, the establishment has failed yet again to silence Alex Jones. They failed dramatically. Even though they've tried to take over InfoWars, and I don't know, maybe the courts will allow them to have the domain name and all of that. It seems like that might happen. I don't know. It's hard to tell because the court case keeps going back and forth. It's wild. But, you know, the building, I mean, the studios have been, you know, left now. Alex has his own network, Alex Jones Live, I think is what it is. And all of his crew members and so on, they're working out of their own studios. And I got to tell you, the establishment is so angry that they still could not silence Alex Jones, that they are trying to attack him now through me, through what, a 12 or 14 year old friction between myself and Alex. So I just wanted to clear the air here. In fact, this whole thing was cleared up, you know, 12 years ago, whatever it was, between me and Alex. But if you hear any voice recordings, or even, I don't know, you might hear Levin Labs deepfakes, but if you hear old voice recordings of me railing on Alex Jones, that's nothing. In private conversations, well, and I'll explain all this, but in private conversations, I was very frustrated with Alex, you know, whatever that was, 12 years ago, 14 years ago, or whatever. And I'm sure he was frustrated with me, too. And you should hear the stuff that I said that has never been broadcast, because I didn't know. I was being played at that time. I was being played by nefarious actors run by the feds. And they do what's called, well, I call it now, a man-in-the-middle attack. And what they do is they kind of weasel their way in between two people. And then they would tell me bad, false things about Alex. And then they would tell Alex, or through other people, try to get information to Alex, bad, false things about me. And this is a classic, you know, it's a classic strategy by the feds. And it got to the point where, see, they were taking advantage of the fact that when I fill in for Alex, he's not there. And so there was actually very little communication between myself and Alex Jones directly. I mean, almost none. And so when these people who I foolishly trusted, when they would tell me things, Alex said this about you, and then they would tell Alex, oh, Mike said this about you. They were doing this on purpose to try to get us to blow up publicly against each other, or to try to get me to discredit Alex publicly, or, you know, try to get him to do the opposite to me, or the same to me. And that never worked. But privately, man, privately, I said things about Alex that I quickly learned were based on just the bad information that I was being fed. And, you know, I was kind of, I mean, I was younger then. I was really naive about how insane the effort would be to try to take down Alex Jones. I had no idea how intense that it would be. You know, for Alex, he had been living this for, you know, 15 years plus. But for me, that was a whole new thing. I really had no idea that these were fed people trying to play me off against Alex. I didn't know. So anyway, if you hear any voice recordings of me from back then, those were all private conversations. And that's nothing compared to what I thought in my mind, because I had believed what I was being told. Well, anyway, they went too far. They went too far. They went so far, at one point, I'm not even going to tell you exactly what they did, because it doesn't matter, but they tried to get me to go public with a story on Alex that they told me would be, you know, very damning to Alex, and it would destroy Alex and everything. And I'm like, wait a second, this is not my role. I'm not here to tear down somebody else in alternative media. What the hell is this? So I went to Alex with this, and I sat down with Alex in his conference room. It's the for those of you who've ever been in the studio, it's the conference room that shares a wall with the office of Rob Dew. And you know, it's the main conference room. And I sat down with Alex in that room and I just laid it out for him. I said, here's what they've been doing to me, and they told me this about you, and here's what they wanted me to do. And he was like, oh my God, I know exactly who this is. Or, you know, in his voice, which I can't really do. He's like, I know exactly who this is. I know exactly what they're doing, because they tried the same thing through other people and they tried these other tactics and so on. And immediately, that cleared the air. Immediately, he knew exactly what was going on. And I even told him, look, you know, I've said some bad things, you know, in private conversations. And he's like, yeah, I know that's what they do. They feed you information and then they, you know, they surreptitiously record you and this and that. They do that to everybody. And then they try to leverage that against you. Yeah. I said, yep, that's exactly what they did. He said, I understand. This isn't the first time. Don't blame yourself, but you figured it out soon enough. And I said, yeah, great. I suppose so. And that was the end of it. And that was like, I don't even remember what year that was. It was like 2011 or 2012, or I don't remember. It was a while ago. And then after that, watching what they did to Alex, I knew it was all coordinated. I'm talking about the Sandy Hook trials. They had the deep state. They had everything rigged against Alex. Remember, he never even got a trial. He didn't get a trial. The judge just said, you're guilty. And then they had the jury decide the punishment or the financial punishment. And in order to do that, they called in all these experts that lied about how much money Alex had and so on. And that's how they got a judgment of $1.5 billion. And I saw this happening and I knew from back channels that at any point Alex could have given in and they would have backed off, they would have dropped the case. And by give in, what I mean is that he could have just said to them, okay, I'll do what you want, I'll parrot the narratives that you want, which he never did, obviously. And that's why they pursued the case and that's why they have continued to go after him. So whatever I thought about Alex Jones in 2012 or again, whatever year it was, maybe 2011, whatever I thought about Alex got completely reformed through the Sandy Hook trials. And watching Alex stand up for the First Amendment in a way and paying a price that nobody else had paid. And it was through that trial that any questions that I had about Alex's determination and his principles, any question I had faded away at that point. You know, you could argue that early on, none of us saw that side of Alex. But once he went through that trial, man, it showed that he's a warrior. And that's why I actually wrote a letter on his behalf and gave it to his attorney. I think it was Norm. And a letter to be submitted to the court on behalf of Alex. And I heard back from people who saw the letter that it was the single most compelling letter in that entire case, you know, a letter from an outside party, I should say, to the court. I don't know if that letter ever got entered into the court record, but if it did, you should read it because it tells the story of how I came to know that even though I didn't agree with Alex on every single thing, that he was an absolute First Amendment warrior and he would not compromise his principles. Now, you didn't have to agree with him on everything, and even he himself never claims that he's 100% correct on everything all the time, but he 100% has the right to speak his mind and to question events, including mass shooting events or, you know, terrorism events or war-related events or anything like that. And I so strongly agreed with that position that I sat down and penned a letter and signed it. And it's a matter of record, either, you know, privately with Alex's attorney or with the court, if they ever filed. I don't know if they did or not, but that letter's out there. Now, there's another interesting, well, noteworthy thing about this whole situation, which is that, you know, we all learn and grow over time. And I think that's also true with Alex. And I think that the Alex Jones that exists today is far more dedicated to principles. He has learned the hard way. He has been raked over the coals. He has been subjected to a completely rigged, falsified civil trial. He's been, you know, smeared and deplatformed. He's been set up. And like I said, one of the attempted setups against him tried to leverage me against him. It, you know, ultimately it failed. But they did that to a lot of people, you know, not just me. And that's why, by the way, some of his ex-employees turned against him and took a payoff. I actually am aware of a couple of them doing that. They took a payoff to say things in articles like UK Daily Mail did. I forgot when it was. It was a few years ago. One article in particular about Alex Jones that I read it. I was like, this is utterly and completely false, because I've been in Alex's offices and none of these things are true. You know, for example, I think the story said that there were like Nazi pictures on the wall or something, or people were wearing like Nazi tennis shoes or things like that. It's like, what? It's all made up. But my point is that over time, I think that Alex found his own way through the crucible. In other words, the harder they tried to attack him, the more it forced him to double down on his own internal principles. Principles of freedom of speech, principles of fighting for what you believe in, principles of not surrendering to evil. And I think that Alex, you know, again, regardless of what you think of him, whether you like his style or not, Alex from 10 years ago is a completely different person than the Alex Jones today. He has forced himself to be reformed with an extremely powerful emphasis on a few key principles, such as freedom of speech and not surrendering to evil enemies and so on. And if anything, that actually proves the character of Alex more over all these years. Whereas in his early days, you know, he hadn't been really tested, nor had I or any of us when we were younger. You know, we learn more over time. Hopefully that's something that we all share. We gain wisdom, we gain experience, we stop being fooled so easily by nefarious parties and things like that. We learn, we grow, we gain wisdom. And if we are good people, we deepen our commitment to our principles. And that doesn't happen with everybody. It only happens with some people. And it definitely happened with Alex. He deepened his commitment to his freedom of speech. And so did I, because I started getting deplatformed and completely blacklisted in 2014. So, you know, a few years after all this stuff initially started, I was getting deplatformed. And in fact, that reminds me, one of the threats, yeah, this is crazy. One of the threats that came at me was that if I didn't turn against Alex, that I would be deplatformed, that I would be removed from every major platform. Now I'm suddenly remembering that. I forgot to mention that earlier. But that was one of the very specific threats. Like, you know, if you do our work for us, then we'll make sure you still have a voice on all these platforms like YouTube and so on and Facebook. And when I refused to do what they wanted to do, then within a couple of years, sure enough, I started getting deplatformed. And then so did Alex. So you know that we were targeted because we were telling the truth. We were targeted. We were deplatformed. This was, remember, the early days of Trump, and then in 2015 when he started campaigning to run for president. And we all got behind Trump at that time because he was, you know, saying the right things as a champion of liberty and freedom. I'm gonna reform this country. And a large part of his focus was deporting illegals, but a lot of other reforms as well. And so it was pretty easy to support Trump in his first term like that, which I did, and Alex did, and many millions of other people did as well. And then we saw Trump get shut down, you know, in his first term. He had Jeff Sessions as the AG, which was just a delay tactic, and then William Barr also, you know, come on. And then the fake Russia collusion hoax, all that stuff against Trump. And I remember thinking, oh my God, they're doing the same thing to Trump that they were, you know, doing to Alex, because this during these years was when the Sandy Hook trial started up and Alex started to have huge, huge legal fees. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would imagine some months he probably paid $500,000 in legal fees in 1 month, I'm guessing. And Trump's legal fees would have been through the roof as well. And so, you know, here I was in those years, 2016, 2017, 2018, like, I'm totally deplatformed and banned. Alex is totally deplatformed and banned, and Trump is getting completely attacked. They're trying to dismantle his entire administration to destroy America and destroy our First Amendment. So, you know, at that time, we were all fighting from the same posture. It's like, you know, we have to save this republic, and we have to save our freedom of speech. And then, of course, they rigged the 2020 election against Trump. It was clearly rigged, 100%. And when they stole that election from Trump, I thought America was lost then. But then for 4 years under Biden, think about how much Alex Jones suffered. And that's when, you know, the government, the federal government, really went after him in the trial, at least as I'm remembering it. Sometimes, you know, our minds tend to kind of summarize these events, but under Biden, they went after Alex hard. And so it was the Biden years also that Alex really, I think, developed more, a deeper character for the values that he now champions every single day. And, you know, all of us were on a target list, by the way, myself included. We were all on a target list. And many of my colleagues and friends were named as the dirty dozen of disinformation for COVID. You know, people like Sayer G and Dr. McCullough and Sherry Tenpenny and so many others. They were all named. So you could see the government was really starting to attack everybody that was telling the truth. And they were literally targeting people left and right. And also, my organization was targeted through different means, through all kinds of slander and smearing. And then I was deplatformed and I was debanked in certain ways as well. And, you know, the whole focus of this was to try to strangle those of us who refused to do the bidding of the establishment. So the only question you have to ask of, you know, who can you trust? Who can you believe in all of this? All you have to do is look at who was viciously attacked and deplatformed and censored. And there's your answer. It's really very simple. And even to this day, my company has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in a lawsuit against YouTube and, you know, Google, Meta, big tech, and also departments of the government, including the DOD. That lawsuit is still pending, and it doesn't seem like we're getting a fair trial at all in that lawsuit. It's cost a small fortune, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed. And I feel like I'm experiencing a smaller version of what Alex went through, getting totally railroaded by the court system. But why? Well, it's for the same reason, because we both refused to surrender to the, you know, to the false narratives and the control system. We stuck with our principles. We said we're going to fight for freedom of speech. We're going to fight for the truth. We're going to fight for our right to exercise our First Amendment and to question events. We're going to fight for that right no matter what, no matter how much we lose financially, no matter how much we lose in terms of traffic or, you know, or even reputation, because we were all being utterly smeared every single day, you know, in the press. Some days Alex would have 100 negative articles written about him across mainstream media. And every article would repeat the same lies. Lies that they were clearly handed, scripted lies, you know, probably the CIA or somebody just handed them lies. Here, print this. And they all printed it. And they would say crazy things about Alex Jones. Can you imagine living through that year after year after year? Every day you wake up and there's hundreds of lies about you in the mainstream media. That's what Alex lived through. And in doing so, it hardened his belief system in what he was fighting for. And look, I'm not claiming Alex is a perfect person. No, none of us are, right? We all make mistakes. We've all had bad judgment. I just told you, I was really naive about all of this years ago. I had no idea the depth of the you know, the nefarious operations that would be leveled against me. I was really unsuspecting of the level of desperation that the establishment would demonstrate to try to control speech and control every narrative. I really had no idea, you know, 15 years ago, that it was going to come to where it is right now. But now we are all wiser. We all see this. And there is no question at this point that in our modern world, Alex Jones is the champion of the First Amendment. There's nobody else who has paid a higher price or who has suffered more just in order to try to exercise his First Amendment rights. And yes, the establishment and the feds and who knows, whatever deep state groups, they used every tactic in the book. They tried to turn me against Alex years ago. They tried to turn others. Well, they successfully turned others against Alex publicly, not just privately. I mean, yeah, I had private conversations years ago where I was screaming about what I thought, which turned out, you know, not to be true. But there are people who went public with mass accusations against Alex. And it was more than one person. And that was all done. It was all coordinated. Clearly. It was all engineered. And again, I'm not saying Alex is a perfect person. He's talked publicly about, you know, his drinking issues years ago, and you know, did he get a DUI or something like that years ago? The sheriff, I forgot the details. Maybe it was a DWI or whatever it was. I mean, you know, he's talked publicly about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to rehash the stuff that he's talked about himself. He's not a perfect person, and none of us is a perfect person. But at the end of the day, Alex Jones is a champion of the First Amendment, and he will always have that. He will always be known for that. He has made himself legendary in fighting for the First Amendment against all the odds. So that's where things stand in 2026, and it's going to get rough out there, because probably the Democrats are going to come back into power because Trump has done such a horrific job as president, at least in the last few months, you know, gas prices rising and so on. I've been very critical of Trump in these last few months and the war and how he basically takes orders from Netanyahu at this point. At least that's the way it appears. So I've been very critical of Trump. It doesn't mean that Trump can't turn things around. But if the Democrats take power in the midterms, which seems almost like a certainty, they're going to have investigations and impeachment proceedings against Trump every single day, you know. And then if the Democrats win the White House in 2028, assuming we still have a country by then, which I'm not entirely sure of, but if they take power then in early 2029, guess what? They're probably just going to go after Alex Jones again, or maybe myself or all of us, because if there's anybody that loves censorship in America, you know, it's the Democrats. Even more, I mean, they love censorship more than the Republicans. even though to some extent it's just one giant uniparty when it comes to, you know, government-controlled speech. But the Democrats are definitely worse on that issue. And plus, they want to take away your Second Amendment rights on top of it, too. So Alex may be facing yet more attacks and yet more, you know, lawfare or cyber warfare. I mean, the kind of things they did to him were off the charts insane. For example, like the deep state, they would email him an email with a porn attachment. Even though Alex doesn't have personal email, but they would email it to the company's server using like a public company email address. And they would have like porn or maybe child porn attached. And then they would go to the court and they would say, well, there's porn, there's illegal content on InfoWars email servers. And then it would turn out it's just an email that the deep state sent. I mean, total obvious entrapment. And they would do that again and again and again with so many things. That's the way they play. That's how desperate they are to silence Alex. But look, at the end of the day, what Alex has proven is that he can't be silenced, and he would rather die than be silenced. And I think that many of us have proven, because we've all been through the ringer on this. We've all been, you know, lied to. We've been there have been attempts to exploit all of us in various nefarious ways. And those of us who have made it through this with our integrity intact and our values intact, we are really untouchable by, you know, the nefarious establishment forces, because it doesn't matter what they do, we won't give in. We won't become parrots of their propaganda. We will always promote independent thinking. So for those of you feds listening, you know, you're just going to have to shop somewhere else. You know, you're not going to succeed in tearing down Alex, because Alex has already proven that he's got more balls and more courage than all of you put together. I mean, yeah, you can demonetize people. You can, you know, you can destroy a person's reputation. You can destroy a business. You can destroy advertisers. You can destroy search engine rankings. You can get people banned off of every platform, like I have been to this day. But you can't silence the truth, because the truth is more powerful than all of your tactics combined. And at the same time, you know, InfoWars is bulletproof. You can't tear down the InfoWars spirit with a court judgment or even a wrecking ball and a bulldozer. Even if you tear down the building, you don't tear down InfoWars, because it lives in the spirit of the people. And even if Alex himself were to retire, that wouldn't end InfoWars, because he's built a movement that's larger than himself, much larger, that will outlast him. A movement that's carried on by so many other people, other InfoWarriors, and even his son, Rex, who's doing a lot of interviews now and just nailing it, and the younger host, you know, Harrison and others, who are just doing an amazing job. So the InfoWars spirit is truly eternal, because it's that fundamental spirit of human freedom and human dignity. And every nefarious weapon that they forge against Alex will fail. And they tried it. They tried it with me. They tried it with him. They tried it with other people. And although they did damage and they cost Alex a lot of money and time and effort, they have still failed. They failed to silence him. And so that's why I support Alex's right to speak and his organization. And I will continue to be happy to fill in from time to time as a guest host whenever that's needed. And I've never been paid for that. It's just purely volunteer. And for my own work, look, you know, I'm the health ranger. My focus traditionally has been nutrition and foods, and right now I'm getting kind of fed up with politics. Actually, it's just so frustrating, and it just seems pointless at times, doesn't it? You know, to cover politics every day. So I'm actually going to be covering more discoveries in the realm of food and nutrition and science. I just did a recording about the history of Westphalian pumpernickel rye bread, which comes out of northern Germany. I know it sounds funny, but it's actually one of the most important superfood innovations in the history of human civilization. And I spent 40 minutes going through the history of that bread and its chemistry and its nutrition and why it actually allowed like the pre-Germanic people to thrive and even survive, including surviving, you know, sieges of the Middle Ages and so on. There's a fascinating history there. And I have 437 discoveries that my AI engine has located so far in my indexed book library. And so I have covered one out of 437. And if I cover one a day, which probably isn't possible, but if I covered one every weekday, you know, even then I could only do a 250 in a year or something like that, right? But I would like to do that more. I'm hoping to do that more. I want to bring you more information about discoveries that are practical, things that affect you, that help you enhance your life and enhance your self-reliance and personal redundancy, your survival capabilities, because what we're facing is going to be very tough to survive, you know, with the global famine and things like that. So that's some of my focus anyway. Plus, I'm doing a lot of AI vibe coding and AI development and tech and things like that. So check out my channel at brightvideos.com and also my articles at naturalnews.com. And also, you know, check out Alex's new network. I think it's Alex Jones Live. If not, you can probably find it pretty easily. And, you know, just get your information from multiple sources. Check out multiple people. Do your own thinking. Do your own research. Make up your own mind about what's happening. And bottom line, if you want to know who's authentic, it's those who are censored by the establishment. That's your number one gauge right there. So thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Take care. I love essential oils. I know you do too. And I want to introduce you to a new brand and product line we have of certain selected set of essential oils. It's called Vital Guard. And we've got it in different formats. You're going to love it. I was just spraying some here before I started recording. This is my favorite formulation by far. We blended it ourselves. And of course, we have lab verified sources where we test for heavy metals and we test for glyphosate and other things. But check this out. I want to show you on my screen here. Here's the organic Vital Guard essential oil blend. Yes, certified organic, but here it is. It's lemon oil, it's clove bud, cinnamon bark, eucalyptus, rosemary, sweet orange, all together, premium grade, distributed by, of course, healthrangerstore.com. And if you go to healthrangerstore.com, you will be able to just search for Vital Guard. It's all one word, and you can find these products. Now, here's some that we have right now. So we have just the oil itself, 15 milliliters. Or, and then you can use that in nebulizer or however you wish. We have the essential oil pillow spray, 2 ounces. That I love this format. I love to spray it on my pillow before I sleep. If I were to travel much, I would always take this with me traveling. Especially, you know, like even in an Uber or a taxi or on a train or a plane, you name it. Then we have the hand spray also. That is a 2 ounce, 59 milliliters here that you'll love. And it also has some very amazing properties naturally because of the essential oils themselves. And then we have the essential oil shower mist format as well, which is available. These are just some different formats of the same essential oil blend, but just, you know, diluted with water or put in a different spray format or different concentrations. It's the same core essential oil. You will love this. And if you're a fan of essential oils and some of the amazing protective properties that they offer, or you've seen some of these oils, you know, mentioned in the Bible or mentioned throughout history, or the history of ancient Europe, for example, you will know that this blend is really something special. It's not just each oil by itself. It's the synergistic properties of all of these oils together
not only is it absolutely delightful, but it also, that's why I call it vital guard, because it's vital to have protection. And these essential oils can help create that vital guard aura, that atmosphere around you. Again, check out the ingredients one more time. It's on my screen. I love the cinnamon in this, by the way. I can smell the clove and the cinnamon, especially. They come out very, very strong. But you combine all these together, and some of these are in my first aid gel, by the way. That's colloidal silver first aid with essential oils. There's some of these oils that are the same across both of those. Just the lemon by itself has amazing properties. So if you want to find out more about these particular ingredients, you can use our AI engine called brightanswers.ai. You can ask it about any of these, and it's uncensored, and it's got, you know, hundreds of thousands of documents and science papers and books that it can research in order to give you your answers. So check it out there. And if you want to purchase these at our online store, that's healthrangerstore.com. Just search for Vital Guard and enjoy these products. I know you'll really love them. I certainly do. I use them daily. So thanks for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.